This morning's a little bit different. If you're visiting with us, so good to have you with us. But it's a family service, so the kids are in here. We all know that, so we extend a lot of grace during this time. But listen, in China, in India, this is how they do church every Sunday. I mean, this is it. There's no kids ministry where you shuffle the kids off to. And so it's a great time for us just to be together as family. There is a stream going on in the cafe, and there's a family room in the back. If kids are getting a little bit too, it's getting too hectic for you, then feel free to take your family out there. And but we're okay. We're going to be okay. We'll bear with one another. Special morning this morning. In just a minute, you're going to hear from Pastor Reggie, who is a pastor in India, and a ministry that we've been a part of and supporting. But I want to read this scripture to you. Actually, before I read it, I'll tell you a couple things about our connection in India, and then I'm just going to turn it over to Reggie after we see a video. I connected with Pastor Reggie a couple of years ago. A few of us went to India, saw the work that was going on there firsthand, and was exposed to something I didn't know still existed today. Went into a leprosy colony, which was just unbelievable. It was like stepping back into biblical times. So you have basically people who are relegated to living in this area, and there's multiple of these all around India, and they're just cast off by society, and that's where they live. That's where they'll live the rest of their lives because of just the way they're treated. And so we ended up connecting and deciding to help out, bring medical treatment and bring healthy food to that one leprosy colony there in the area where they serve. And then we heard about these individuals who gave their lives to Christ in an area where it's about 2% Christian. A lot of persecution as well. And after giving their lives to Christ, just felt compelled to go into these villages and share that message. And so there's these church planters who have just been going out, and they really go with no resources or funds. And so last year we funded 112 church planters to go out, and you'll hear more about that in just a minute. But with that, I want to read this passage from 2 Corinthians 9 and just remind us how much we have to be thankful for, and just think about the people that we have the ability to bless and how thankful they are as well. Paul is writing this, and at the time, the church in Jerusalem is in need, and so he's asking for help. But listen to 2 Corinthians 9, verses 9 to 15. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. He's the one who blesses, right? In the same way, he'll provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. So he blesses us so we could be a blessing and be generous to others. Verse 11, yes, you'll be enriched in every way, so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. So as we meet the needs of those who are in need, they thank God because they see it as God's provision. And verse 13, as a result of your ministry, they'll give glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given you. Thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. So if you're part of this ministry and you give to this ministry, just know that you have people in India who are praying for you with deep affection because they've been blessed by your generosity. Watch this video, and then Pastor Reggie's going to share with us.
Good morning, Emmaus Church. It's a great privilege and it's a great honor for me to be here this morning. And I just want to thank Pastor Vic for his love, for his support, and for his hospitality as I've been here for 3 days. I'm greatly honored to have the opportunity to be with you this morning at the Emmaus. Firstly, to be able to worship with you today and to share about, it's not about what Emmaus is doing. It's not about what we as a ministry in India are doing, but it's all about what God is doing in and through your church and in and through our lives. And I don't want to miss the opportunity to personally say a big, big thank you to Emmaus Church for your partnership with this ministry in India, Gospel for Nations. Gospel for Nations is an indigenous mission organization, having indigenous leadership, having indigenous contextualized services and worship, which means it's no more perceived. Once upon a time, Christianity was perceived as a white man's religion. But now it's no more like that because we are indigenous in worship and we have our services very contextualized according to the culture and the context of our country. Let me talk a little bit about myself and then move on to see what the partnership has done in the last year. I'm a sixth generational Christian back in India. And it all began with my great-great-grandfather who accepted Christ to be his personal savior. When he accepted Christ, you know, his own family had nothing to do with him. Because their son embraced an alien god, their son embraced a foreign god to which they were not able to comprehend their mind. So they kind of poisoned his food. So he took the food and he was lying half dead. And that's when the Salvation Army missionaries who worked at that time in India, in our nation, under the British rule, picked him up, saved his life, and then gave him a ministry to continue on. And a result of that one man's commitment, I stand here today in front of you serving God in various capacities in our nation. I'm not trying to be very proudful or prideful about that. I'm trying to impress upon your heart that God calls different people at different times. And I'm just so thankful for those Salvation Army missionaries that worked in that part of the nation, you know, in the early 1900s. And I think it was someone like you who helped those missionaries to be there in India. And as a result of that, I stand as a sixth generational Christian serving God in India. I'm married. I have one wife. Her name is Dina. And I have two little children. I have my older daughter. Her name is Dia Sarah Benjamin. And she turns 6. And I have a little son who is handful who turns 2 in the coming month. They're back in India, and do pray for them as I miss them, and I believe they too miss me. In the last year alone, through your partnership, Emmaus Church had supported 112 church planters in the last year, and we worked in 133 villages of India that has no Christian witnesses. And a result of that partnership with Emmaus Church, 133 house churches have been initiated and planted for the very first time in the villages where there is no absolute Christian presence or a Christian church in those villages. 60,000 have had the privilege to hear the message of Jesus Christ. When you talk about 60,000, it looks like a great number, but we have about 112 church planters, and probably if you divide them on an average, it would be over a little over 500 people that they would have met for the very first time over a period of a year. And if you still break it down, it would be like 35 or 40 people that they meet in a month. Not necessarily all of these 60,000 have accepted Christ, but we have given them a privilege and an opportunity to hear the message of Jesus Christ. We have sown the seed, and I truly believe that every word that proceeds from the mouth of God will never turn back empty, but it will bring its fruit in its due season. And that's our hope, and that's our belief. And a result of your partnership of you, Emmaus Church, 913 people have been led to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And as a result of your partnership, 542 people have been baptized for the glory of God. And as a result of your partnership, 635 evangelism outreaches have been organized in the villages. And as a result of your partnership, 80 church planters were trained for an effective evangelism and church planting for the glory of God. God is doing something amazing in that country. And I truly believe that it is the opportune time for God to win nations, and especially our land, India. I want to share a few stories that would be encouraging to you, I believe, this morning from the mission field. We have a church planter called as Pastor Paul Kirubagaran. And Paul Kirbaran signed, you know, that he wanted to be supported. And he wrote, "This is where God called me to do a church plant." And then after we started supporting, you know, not less than 15 days, he came back to me. And he said, "Pastor, I don't believe that God is calling me to plant churches at this place, Pastor. But I truly believe that God was calling me somewhere else." And even as he was describing to me, you know, I thought to myself, he's going to a place where he knows no one. He's going to a place where he doesn't know the language. He cannot read it. And, you know, he has nothing absolutely there. So I told to him, you know, I don't think, Paul, I don't think this is going to materialize. And I think that, you know, that we would be simply giving out the money for you for doing nothing, because you don't know the language. You can't read the language. You're going to work with a people group that you have no idea about. But he persuaded me so much that, you know, we decided, you know, let's give him a chance and see, because you don't want to hinder the purpose of God, the will of God. And then after a year, he said, and he comes to our monthly meeting every month, and he keeps reporting and tells us how God had been blessing him. And after a year, he invites me back to his mission field, and he says, "You know, 1 year is over, and I want you to come and see how God had been working in this mission field." I went back to a village called, it's not actually a village, but a suburb out of the city of Bangalore, a place called Andhrali. So I went there, and I was excited, but I was a bit suspicious too. As much as you are suspicious about me of what I'm doing, I was a bit suspicious because I was giving something for him. From zero, the church grew to 45 people in 1 month. And I was standing there, and I was hearing, and I was not able to believe. He was taking the Bible, and he was reading the language from the scriptures. He was talking the language. He was singing in the language. And I was sitting there so stunned. And he kept on telling, you know, this person came through Christ, you know, by this miracle, that person came, and people were jumping from every direction to share about the testimony of how that church grew. And I went to that pulpit, you know, and I was asking personally, you know, to check if he was telling the truth, because on a first anniversary, you have a lot of people, 100 to 150 people were sitting there. So I didn't really know that whether there were 45 people in the church. So I went, asked them, I said, you know, it's so good and I praise God. I want to know who gave this mic. I want to know who gave this pulpit. And they started telling me the story of how one by one God made it, you know, how it got materialized. And that, and before the service started, you know, there was a person called as Daniel, a youngster. And he was kind of a very funny person. And he kept on telling, Pastor, when I came here, there was no one. And this young man came to me and he asked me for something. I did not have anything to give for him, but I just thought, you know, I would give him some food. And he was hanging around with me. And I thought it was the best thing to do, you know, to hang around, to have him around me. I could feed him a little bit and he would teach me the language. I could communicate with the people in that community because he knows the language. And he said, he taught me the language and I gave him Jesus Christ to be his personal savior. But Pastor, there is one problem, Pastor, he said. He said, you know, I tell him to do something, he does exactly the other thing. So I was sitting there in front and I asked him for a paper. I was not joking with him, but I asked him for a paper. And then, you know, I wanted to write something before I go to the pulpit. And, you know, I didn't think that he would do that. He went and bought me a newspaper. That was the kind of IQ that he had. But he was sharing his testimony on that pulpit. And I was so touched and moved this morning as you were worshiping. As I was going through the words that you worshiped this morning in that song, God really touched me. And he told me, and he was sharing the testimony, and he said, you know, when I came here to this church, Pastor, no one was there. And he said to the congregation, he was giving the testimony, and he was telling, you know, I thought that this church planter, Paul, was a weird man. He starts the prayer in the name of Jesus. He tells 10 times in the name of Jesus, and he finishes his prayer in the name of Jesus. And he said, I thought he was a kind of a weird man because I didn't know Jesus. And he said, when he prayed in the name of Jesus, people who came, who were sick, were healed. And he said, when he prayed in the name, when he used that name in the name of Jesus, the demon ran away. And I thought to myself, this is a kind of good mantra in the name of Jesus. A good magic show that he is showing. And I thought to myself, I didn't know who Jesus was. He said, you know, it was some kind of a show. That's what I was thinking. And with that kind of an IQ, you would know what would happen. He said, after a couple of weeks, I went to the hospital with one of my friends. I took one of my friends close by who was a neighbor. And he said, you know, I went to the hospital, and even as we were waiting, there was a woman who was lying down because she had hiccups. And the hiccups did not stop. You know what is hiccups, right? Yeah. And that hiccups did not stop. And as we were waiting, they said, you know, this hiccups for that woman had been there for a couple of days. And you know what? With that kind of an IQ, what would have gone through his mind? Oh, this weird man, Paul, did some good mantra magic. You know, let me also try that. And I was sitting so shocked in that place, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, you are, and he was, as he was sharing, I was thinking to myself, he's going to make a fool, you're going to make a fool of yourself in a few minutes. And he said, after the doctors left, and the nurses left at that from that bed, I slowly creeped in to that woman close by, and I looked at her face, and she stared at me. And he said, in the name of Jesus. And the hiccup stopped. And he said, I stood there. He said, I stood there so shocked. And he said, this is not a weird man, but I truly believe that there is a living God. And he gave his life to Jesus. And I was sitting there wondering to myself at the, in the front, sitting, Lord, how wrong could I be, Lord? I grew up in a Christian community, Lord. I grew up in a Christian family, Lord. I went to the seminary, Lord. But how easy it is for me to forget how powerful you are, God. I want to tell you, my dear church, God takes the nothings of the world and will make something out of it. He takes the fools of the world to outwit the wise. And I'm a testimony of that this morning. I'm a very shy person. I'm a very shy person. Even in the days when I studied my undergraduation, if they would ask me to pray, I would rather cry in my family prayer than to pray. One of the things that I could never do was to stand up in front of 10 people and talk. But my challenge is when you and I make ourselves available in the hands of God and say, Lord, I'm available, Lord, then God takes you and uses you. If God could use Daniel, God could use you and I for the glory of His. There's another church planter who's called as Paul Benjamin. He works in a village called as Jalagandapuram. And he said right after the meeting, after a monthly meeting, he said, Pastor, you need to come and visit our mission field. So I went right after having lunch after the church planters meeting, and then I went to that mission field, and we went around the churches where he meets with the families. And he introduced me. We sat and prayed together, and then he introduced me to a young boy. And he said, his name is Bharati. You can look at that picture. The guy over there on your right-hand side or left-hand side. His name is Bharati, and he had been instrumental in leading 6 people to Jesus Christ. But he's a new convert. Less than 3 months when I met him. But God had used him to bring 6 peoples into the kingdom of his. And after some time, out of curiosity, I sat with him and asked him, Bharati, tell me, what made you to do this? Why? How come you're on a fire for God like this? It's so difficult to bring, even for a church planter, to bring 6 or 10 people in a year to his church. But he was able to do it in less than 3 months. And he told me his story. He said, Pastor, I have lived a wretched life. And later I was diagnosed with HIV positive. And he said, I lost all the hope in my life. My family rejected me. And I was sitting in the village so broken is when church planter Paul Benjamin came around sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. I fell on my knees. I got a hope. I had a joy and accepted Christ to be my personal Savior. And he says that, I go to this hospital, where the HIV patients come to get their medicine. And he said to me, I know exactly what would be going on through in their heart and in their mind and hopelessness and a brokenness. And he says, I go and share about this Jesus that I received so that they can also have Jesus for eternity. And he has led 6 people to Jesus Christ. There's a lady called as Martha. I have told you the story, I believe, earlier. In our leprosy home where you support, there's a lady called as Martha. And Martha, I call her as a problem maker all the time. She's up to something. And she asks me every time something. So as a joke, I say, you know, you are a problem maker, Martha. She stands to the very last minute till I sit in my car and about to leave. She asks for something. But she asks for tracts and Bibles and all of that. And she said at the end, she said, you know, I have something. You know, there are 3 people to be baptized in this community. And then later I asked these 3 women, you know, we also have a church planter who goes and visits and supervises, prays and ministers to them. So I thought probably it's the church planters that go and minister and, you know, would have led them to Christ. And I asked them, who led you to Jesus? And she said, and they said that, you know, this lady called Martha led 3 of us to Jesus Christ. God doesn't choose the qualified, but God qualifies the one whom he calls and he chooses for his purposes to be accomplished in this world. There's a ministry that we have among the blind. A couple of years ago, probably 10 years ago, I did not have the resource. They did not have the resource, the blind people. So I gave whatever I had and supported them with the limited resources. And there was nothing at that point of time. And slowly they started ministering to the blind people one after the other. And today, if you come, there is a vibrant group of 30 to 40 blind people worshiping together on a weekday and taking communion. And I go once a month to serve, to minister and to serve the communion in that community. How does the church grow? How does the kingdom of God progress in this world? I don't think you need to understand. It's just not the work of the pastor. It's just not the work of the members of the mission committee. I truly believe it's the call of every single believer. Woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. The great task is given to each one of us. Jesus didn't say that, you know, the Great Commission is given just to the pastors and to the people in the missions committee. The Great Commission is to each one of us to take the message of Jesus Christ into the primitive areas that have never been reached so that we can preach, teach, and baptize for the glory of God. And the result of that, you know, when that becomes a call of every believer, an HIV patient goes and evangelizes, a blind evangelizes, you know, an innocent person like Daniel, you know, he goes and evangelizes. And that's how God has tended for the church and the kingdom of God to progress and move forward in the world. Last year, there was one of our church planter, Charles. He works in a village called as Kanjanai Kampeti. And there were 50 people, you know, that surrounded that place with all kind of sticks and all kind of weapons. I didn't see what weapons, you know, probably a knife and rods and sticks. And there was the head of this group who was coming and threatening him to shut down the church completely. And he was threatening with all sort of things, and it became a police case later. And they closed the church for some time. But our church planter was not afraid. Charles was not afraid. Charles is a very vigorous person and a very straightforward person. He was not afraid of their shouting, coming and shouting in front of his church. But in fact, what led to the problem was him talking back to them. He said, "Sir, you need to understand, I am not afraid." He said, "If you kill me today, I will go to live with my Jesus. If I live in this world, he will come to live with me. What difference does it make? I'm not afraid of my life. I don't even have a paper knife. It is you with 50 other people are armed. It is you who is afraid." And obviously they got very frustrated and they created all sort of issues after he spoke like that. And they had to shut down the church before a communal clash should happen in that village. And the police sent a letter to that church. And I called him and asked him, we protested and all of those happened. But I called him and asked him, and God was, God favored us that the case won in favor of us. And we opened back that worship, that fellowship in Kanjanaikampati village. But I asked him, why did you have to speak like that, Charles? And he said to me, Pastor, I'm so convicted when God called me and I'm convinced. He said, for me to live is Jesus Christ and for me to die is a gain. And he said, you know what, Pastor? And he said, neither the swords of this enemy, neither the swords of the enemy, the men of this world, and he said, neither the angels of heaven will be able to separate me from the love of Jesus Christ. That's the kind of commitment. That's the kind of courage. That's the kind of boldness in which our church planters work in those areas. And I told you the story of Gideon last year. And after he had been killed, I asked his wife, you knew that you got a lot of threatening calls. Why didn't you move from that place? And the words that she said still rings in my ears. She said, Pastor, we were not able to move because we strongly felt that God was calling us to this particular place. And today, as a result of that man who was killed, the pastor, Pastor Gideon, many have come to faith in Jesus Christ. And this is the challenge for each one of us this morning, my dear church at Emmaus. If God could use Paul Kirubagaran to plant a church, if God could use Daniel, an innocent man, to plant a church, to build his church, if God could use an HIV patient to build his church, if God could use a leprosy patient to build his church, if God could use the blind people to build his church, if God could use Charles and Gideon to build his church, God can use you and I to move forward his kingdom around the world. But how many of us really believe that? How many of us truly believe that? In the name of Jesus still rings in my mind. And even as we were worshiping, the words were so beautiful. It said, what did it say? Do you remember? The enemies should leave at the sound of Jesus. The fatherless get rest at the sound of Jesus. The sick are healed at the sound of Jesus. The dead are raised at the sound of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, there is power. If God can use all of them, God could use you and I for the glory of His. We had training program in the last year. We had a few professors come and teach and train our pastors in missions. And last year, your church was instrumental in giving a Christmas gift to our church planters during the season of Christmas. And you have those pictures there on the screen. And one of the other initiatives of Emmaus Church is to work among the leprosy colonies in India. And Emmaus had been partnering with us in providing provision for one particular home called as Chelyampetty, with a 365-day pantry. In a sense, it's not cooked food, but we give provision, and they cook by themselves. And I want to talk about Rukmani for a moment. Rukmani, as you know, had been a lady. You had been supporting that community, and you had helped her when she had gangrene cancer. We tried all kind of help that we could render to her, and we took her to the hospital. We tried having a surgery for her, but then it didn't work out because the doctors had to stop the surgery because she was bleeding. And the doctor said, if we continue any further, I think that this lady will bleed to death. So it's better off that we stop and she could live the rest of the life, however happy she wanted. And you, Emmaus Church, had been so instrumental in loving her, in supporting and praying for her. And you can see that picture of how she began. This is how her face looked. And this is how her face changed after that. And I think in the month of November or October, I baptized her. She said, you know, we went to visit and she said, I want to be baptized. I've accepted Christ and I want to be baptized. She said, you know, he is my guide and my God. And he said, without him, I would have died long time ago. And she said, you know, I want to be baptized. So right then and there, I took a kind of a small jug and I baptized her right at the place that she was sitting in. And I think you would have seen the baptism video. And now, in the month of January, she went to be with the Lord. And I think you and I will see her in heaven. And she's going to walk up to you and say, I'm here. This is possible. It's because of you, Emmaus Church. Last year we had some extras given by Emmaus Church. We gave them sandals. We give them provisions that you can see. If you move on to the next slide, we gave them sandals. This is how they wear. That's the kind of slippers they wear. And we gave them crutches, walkers in the last year. And we have had some resources in the last year. We have around 10 hostels, leprosy homes in our state. And we have had the privilege to help them one time by providing food or, you know, by providing clothes or, you know, being a blessing by some way, you know. In some of the homes also, we kind of supported them with the sandals. If you could move the slides, please. If you could move the slides, yeah, thank you. So we, in the last year, have been a full support for one complete home, Chelyampeti, that you partner with, but had been a blessing through one time's, giving to more than 900, to close to about 950 leprosy patients in that state of India. God has been good. God is doing some amazing things, and God has given us the privilege, you and I, Emmaus Church, to be a part of what God is doing in that country, India. Thank you so much. But I also want to invite you to come to India. I don't want to move away from this place without inviting you to come to India. It's very far, I understand, but come and help us in the ministry. Nothing like the firsthand experience of God's move and God's work. I can share stories after stories this morning and I can show you hundreds of pictures, but nothing can be compared, you being on the field, seeing and experiencing the move of the Holy Spirit. The church, Pastor Vic, is planning to come in the month of September, God willing. Consider of how you could be a part of being a part of that coming to India. Lastly, if one thing I ask of you this morning, this is the one thing that I would ask of you, that you pray for us. I plead that you pray for us. If we are to evangelize, if we are to see those churches planted in those unreached areas, it's not about the great strategies and the resources, but it's the prayers of God's children around the world. In India, we have hundreds that pray for us. I spoke with my grandmother this morning. She's 94 years old and I live with her. And she asked me, what are you doing today? I said, I would be speaking in a church. And she said, what time you would be speaking? I told her I'd be speaking at about 10 o'clock Indian time. And she said, I would be praying for you. I spoke with a couple of others, and they said they would be praying for me. And I know that, you know, at a certain period of time, people have committed to pray for the ministry. And I truly believe that even as I stand here, that somebody is praying for me. And this is the kind of prayer network that we need to develop around the ministries. If that's the kind of commitment, if that kind of a commitment comes from God's children, I truly believe great and mighty things will happen in the kingdom of God. The floodgates of heaven will be opened. The closed doors in those dark areas where we work will be opened. And the strongholds will be broken down if you, as God's children, commit to pray for us. So to that extent, I ask one thing of you this morning, that you remember us in your prayers. God bless. Did that take a lot of time, Pastor?
Levi, if you guys come on up. With that, real quick, just to let people know what's going on in India right now as far as the government there. There is a lot of persecution that happens, and a lot of it is from kind of the top down. Maybe share, right now there's an election going on. That's a process that takes some time. But share about what happened with Compassion International, and then we're going to take some time to pray, and we're going to sing.
Okay. Right now, the election is going on back in India. The election, I mean, the government that is ruling, the ruling government is called as the BJP and the RSS, and they are more like an anti-Christian party. And they want to make the nation a complete Hindu nation by 2021-22. And, you know, that's how vigorous they are to work towards that. And I truly believe that as we pray that God would really, break down those strongholds and bring in a different party. And this party was, in last year, March, they shut down the Compassion International Ministry in India that was supporting 15 million children and left those millions of children at stake overnight. And there were 9,000 Christian organizations that were shut down. And, they cut down the foreign funding of those organizations. And if they come back, to power, it would be a rampage for the Christians. And, I would ask you to pray for that. I forgot to share about that, Pastor. Sorry.
That's good. If you stand with me, we're gonna pray. We're going to sing a song that I think most of you know called Reckless Love. And, as we sing this song, it's not that God's love is reckless, but it's God's love is so extravagant that it appears to be reckless when you look at it from the outside. And it's not that God's call is reckless, but sometimes God's call appears to be reckless, right? Sometimes God calls people to places that other people would look on and say, are you crazy? You can't go there. We shared a couple of weeks ago, first trip to Guatemala. You can't take your kids to Guatemala. You know how dangerous it is there? Well, God calls, and sometimes that appears reckless. But when we're in his will, when we're following him, there's no better place to be. So as we sing this song, before we do, I want to pray for Reggie, the ministry there. I want to pray for what's going on in India. I want to remind you there's communion off to either side of the stage and in the back. If you want to take a moment with the Lord and just remember his love, maybe something that just impressed your heart, you just want to take a moment alone with God, please do that. But if you would, join with me in praying for my brother and the ministry there and all that's going on in India right now. God, we just come before you right now. We're humbled, Lord. God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the many blessings you've given to us. But God, if we're honest, I think most of us would just confess that we're very comfortable at times. And in our comfort, Lord, we've become complacent. So I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would move us, Lord, to take action. Lord, to share the good news of the gospel with people around us, but also to give and to see that good news preached in areas where it hasn't before. God, to help those in need, our brothers and sisters in Christ, family, living like some of those are living in those leprosy colonies and in those areas, Lord, that are just forsaken and forgotten in many ways. But God, we pray for Reggie. Pray that you'd fill him with your spirit. Pray that you continue to use him. We pray for those church planters, God, that you would use them powerfully as they share the word. God, we pray for the government there. We pray for just the election. Lord, first of all, that it would not be corrupt. Let all the corruption that takes place, and they've already had it happen, Lord, let it come to light, that it would be a fair election, Lord God. We pray that it would be favorable. But God, we just commit it to your hands. Lord, let your good and perfect will be done. We've seen in the midst of persecution that your church is thriving. And here your church is struggling. Maybe it's